And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Welcome, friends. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. A little stormy out there today, although the first round that went through in our immediate area here in the city of Butler wasn't too bad. Wasn't as bad as the boomers that we had last night. Well, there may be more today. We're still talking about more activity, very unsettled weather. We'll see. We'll keep an eye on the radar for you. Coming up on the program today, we're going to be talking about Memorial Day activities here in Butler a little bit later. Ron Marowitz will be here to talk about an oldies dance show that's coming up this weekend. And we're also going to be talking with Daniel Robinson today. Daniel Robinson is a screenwriter for ABC's hit television series, How to Get Away with Murder. And we'll be talking to him about a little bit about that and about an eating disorder that he battled for much of his life, overeating, binge eating. So anyway, all that coming up on the program today. Let's say hello, first of all, to John Cyprian, the Director of Veteran Services for Butler County. John, it's always good to see you. Nice to have you here today.
Dave, thanks for having me once again. And I was a victim of those storms last night.
I know a lot of people that were awakened by boomers last night, you know.
That lightning, I thought it was inside my house. It was, I mean, it just lit up the whole inside. I thought it was like a show on an Amityville Horror or something.
One of the employees here at the radio station said the same thing. But other folks said, well, I heard a few distant rumbles, but it wasn't too bad. So it depended on where you know, right, where you are and where you live.
Yep.
We'll see what happens. Fortunately, we're not expecting any of the really, really violent weather that they had from this system over the past couple of days when it was out in the Midwest. So keep our fingers crossed. We hope not. This is the time of the year, and anybody that's lived here for any length of time knows. If you take a look back through history, we get our most violent weather in late May and in the first part of June. That's when we had the horrific killer tornadoes of some 25, 30 years ago when, you know, we had like 9 people died.
Yeah, I was, we were just looking that up, May 31st of 85.
Mm-hmm. I knew it was late May. I didn't remember the exact date offhand, but this is the time of the year, so be alert. We'll be watching the radar for you throughout the day. John Cyprian is here to talk about Memorial Day activities that are coming up here in the city of Butler. There'll be a parade. There'll be other activities. In fact, John, we should start with the parade because a major change this year in the parade.
Oh, my God. It's the parade that used to go the wrong way.
The only parade that went the wrong way.
The only parade that went the wrong way. Yes, we're changing the direction of it. And I got to tell you, like I said earlier, Dave, it's Melissa and Shawnee's idea to change the direction of that of the parade.
So, these are some of the people that work in the office.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Services office.
Mm-hmm. And Melissa and Shawnee are heavily involved in the activities and putting the program together. Melissa puts a program together and all that stuff. The program booklet. You know, there's a whole committee that does everything. But
very nice. I have this year's in front of me already. So, well, all parades, most parades in the city of Butler form at Main and Penn Street, right at the bottom of North Main Street Hill, and then they move up toward the courthouse. The Memorial Day Parade for decades went the other direction. It formed at the courthouse and moved down Main Street.
Right.
And the reason for that was there was a program after the parade in the cemetery, right?
Correct, yeah. So I think the founding fathers did that when they created North Cemetery up there. And that's where they the parade usually ended up there, and they did a program up there, if you remember, David, because it used to be called Decoration Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's when the Daughters of the Revolutionary War would put flowers on the graves of the deceased veterans. So that's why they always went to the cemetery right after Memorial Day. So I jokingly say for 200 years it's always gone that way up to the cemetery. So this year we're going north to south.
Now, there'll still be a program after the parade, but it won't be at the cemetery. Right?
Correct, yeah. The program will still be the exact same program up there. And if you've never witnessed that program, it pretty much captures how Memorial Day was created and what transpired to create Memorial Day under General Logan's orders and the Gettysburg Address. Mm-hmm. All that gets encompassed into that program. It's a very nice program on the importance of Memorial Day.
So it'll just be at Diamond Park instead of
correct
North Cemetery.
Yeah, that's all we're doing is switching up Diamond Park. Most of the people that started going to the cemetery afterward was just pretty much the committee people, their families, a few friends. Mm-hmm. Not like back in the day where everybody went to the cemetery after the parade.
Well, that's a little bit of a hike, to be honest with you, from the bottom of North Main Street Hill up to the cemetery.
Yeah, but when you're 30, you're...
I guess. I'm thinking you're going to have a heck of a lot more people be able to enjoy and appreciate this program when it's going to be in Diamond Park. Right,
That's the goal. Yeah. Hopefully a lot more people will stick around and do that program. And it's, 20-minute program. Again, capturing how Memorial Day was created and the purpose of Memorial Day.
I know I was honored to be a speaker at a program in Diamond Park a few years back on the anniversary of the Pearl Harbor attack.
Right.
December 7th, it was a bit of a chilly day, chilly morning, but we had a nice crowd in attendance for that program, and I would expect you'll have a pretty big one on Memorial Day. By the way, the parade is on Memorial Day, on Monday.
On the observance. Remember, Memorial Day is the 30th.
Oh, that's true. Now, there's a true veteran speaking.
Right. So the last Monday of the month was the observance of Memorial Day. So, that'd be the 27th. Will be the parade day, and again, Penn and Main Street assembling and marching north to south towards the courthouse for that. It kick off at the same time. We're going to play around with the time a little bit because we don't have that hike, as you mentioned, going up to the cemetery, so it'll be a little quicker ending of the parade and into the next program. So I told the master of ceremony, let's pitch it off probably about 11:30 at Diamond Park. Usually we kind of wait till about 11:45, closer to noon, for up at the cemetery for everybody to get up there. Committee members get up there. The Marine Corps League gets up there, and they post the colors, and they do their rifle salute and everything else. But they got that hike and carry all their equipment up there and all that stuff that they don't have to do this year.
So the parade can still start 10:30, shortly thereafter, right, in that general vicinity, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So obviously Main Street in Butler will be blocked off to vehicular traffic for the parade, as usual.
And they'll give a warning at that particular program. So if individuals are threatened by a rifle salute or have issues with the rifle salute and the volleys, there'll be a little warning to say, hey, this is the time you may want to walk away or go do something else.
Cover your ears.
If you have issues with the firing of the weapons.
Those are my memories, John, of Memorial Day. In fact, I too can remember when it was on May 30th, no matter what day of the week. It could be Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday. May 30th was Memorial Day. And then that all that changed in the early 1970s when we Congress passed the Monday holiday law, and so Memorial Day is now always on a Monday. But I can remember when it used to be May 30th, and I also remember when we used to have the program at, we called it in my town, the Tablet. It was an honor roll, a memorial. It was actually in front of the elementary school. Right. I grew up in Parker, Allegheny River Town. And, you know, everybody from the town came out and gathered, and we had a speaker, right. Usually a veteran, and the high school band was there, and there was an honor guard who fired blanks.
Right.
Rifles, and when we were little kids, we used to scramble to get the empty cartridges, you know, in the street after everybody left. That was a big deal for a couple of years, you know, and then, right. and you yeah. outgrow that.
A lot of the communities had the honor rolls that they did. Like Lindora had one, Southside had one, Harrisville.
There was
had
one in Butler.
Shakora had one. Yeah.
At Center Avenue,
right
at the corner there of would be the corner of Center Avenue and what is that Lincoln Avenue that comes out there? Mm-hmm. You know where I'm talking
right.
about?
Yeah, Monroe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was when the old Center Avenue Elementary School was there, which is of course is long gone, torn
right.
down.
Yeah.
I don't know what they did with the tablets.
I don't know what they did with those. No, we and we have some in the outside the office of all the killed in action from World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and all that. So, but yeah, the honor rolls were from those individuals from those communities, and yeah, exactly as you said, they did their little programs right there. That's why in the city, the Memorial Day parade is such a smaller parade. In the city versus everyone, because Saxonburg's doing their own thing, Harrisville's doing their own thing, and Shakora's doing their own thing, and Mars is doing their own thing, which is great.
I agree. Yeah. And many communities still have those tablets. In fact, up in Shakora, they renovated theirs a few years
right.
back because it was becoming a little deteriorated, and they had a fundraising campaign and really right. fixed it up. It's very, very nice. Now, there will be some other things going on. In fact, prior to the parade, you'll be having a service. Is that going to take place at the VA? Where's that happening?
There's one, back up a little, Sunday evening is, that's the big day. I really enjoy this program. And that's where we take all the veterans who passed away from one Memorial Day to the next. So from 2018 to 2019, we have 303 that passed away, and we kind of do an honor roll service.
Their names are read?
All their names are read.
Wow.
The next of kin get a letter, an invite letter, to come to the service. We have a complete service Sunday evening up there, and then we'll read off all 303 names for that. So that's the Sunday evening program, and then the Monday morning program out at the VA Medical Center. And like we were talking off air, we call them the founders, the Norm Reddicks, the Ray Bargers, the Leonard Becks and all that.
Yeah.
You know, they always said, hey, John, these guys can't get out and enjoy the Memorial Day activities and honor, you know, their killed in action from Memorial Day. So let's bring a little bit of Memorial Day to them for our hospitalized veterans. And so that's what we do Monday morning.
And then everybody involved in that will come downtown and participate in the parade.
Right.
Yeah. I was looking over the list of the veterans who have died in the past 365 days since
right.
last Memorial Day. It used to be that the vast majority were World War II veterans, and there's still a
right.
better part of a page of them. But my goodness, there's a tremendous number of Korean War and Vietnam veterans who have now passed away.
Look at the numbers from Korea and Vietnam, and it's like the Vietnam guys are actually outdoing the Korean guys.
Mm.
And sad, I got one of my Desert Storm buddies I served with, Mr. Noblitz, on this list this year. And it, you know, kind of hits home a little bit when you see the guys that you served with, you know, on the list.
And there's still, I don't know how many World War II veterans there are here, but it's still a pretty lengthy list. And these
right.
these individuals, all in their 90s now, I mean, they have to be. My
they
goodness.
Have to be.
We have, coming up in just a couple of weeks, John, the 75th anniversary of D-Day. June 6th, 1944, 75 years ago. Well, it will be 75 years ago. I would imagine, I haven't seen anything on this or read anything about it yet, but in France, they must be planning one heck of a celebration.
One day I'd love to go there and just witness that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they do it. on an annual basis, you know, on June 6th. But, I mean, this is 75 years, this June 6th. So I bet there's going to be, well, first of all, we know there's going to be world leaders there from all over the place.
I would hope so.
But they'll have reenactments and everything else. They do parachute drops and all kind of stuff.
I like to be around for the 100th and actually go.
Yeah. I'd like to be there for the 75th.
I don't think we're going to make it for the
75th. Better buy a plane ticket pretty quickly if I'm going to make it for that.
Pitch a tent, Dave, because I don't think there's going to be any rooms available.
We'll take a break. We'll talk a bit more about what's going to happen on Memorial Day here in Butler. And do keep in mind, as John Saprian said, many communities are having their own Memorial Day festivities and events and programs, right. and that's terrific. But we're telling you what's happening here in Butler. One of our sponsors on the program today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. Boy, I've got a pile of stuff. I've got to get down to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store because, believe it or not, I started my spring cleaning in the spring this year instead of waiting until July. So, hey, if you're doing spring cleaning, or maybe you're downsizing, or maybe you've got, parents who are downsizing, moving, don't throw clothing, shoes, furniture, household items away. Consider donating those items to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store. It's in the Greater Butler Mart. It's very easy to donate. There's tons of free parking right outside the door. They're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 9 to 7. And all the money generated from the sale of items there stays right here in Butler County. Every penny to help support the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank and their client aid program. Help us so we can help others. Keep that in mind when you're doing spring cleaning and you end up with stuff that you're going to get rid of. We'll continue our conversation with John Saprian right after these words.
Thinking about remodeling or refinancing your home? ARMCO Credit Union's new HELOC combines the flexibility of a traditional home equity line of credit with the low fixed rate of a home equity loan. Lock in different amounts, rates, and terms up to 20 years under one convenient loan agreement and monthly payment without the hassle of reapplying as your borrowing needs change. It's never been easier to join, so call or visit us at one of our locations or online at armcocu.com to become a member.
ARMCO Credit Union is an equal housing lender and federally insured by NCUA.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening, every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Welcome back. Nice to have you with us on this Thursday. John Saprian is here. John is the Director of Veteran Services for Butler County. By the way, John's office, the Veterans Services office, is right inside the front door of the Butler County Government Center. As soon as you go through security, hang a left, and there you are. And you handle all sorts of services for veterans.
We do everything, Dave. Anything on the federal level with the VA, we handle. If you're talking nursing home, if you're talking filing claims, for service-connected injuries, all that, education, insurance, anything and everything on the federal level we can handle. And Shawnee and Melissa do a great job in their, talking about 214s, upgrading 214s. If there's an issue with your 214, trying to find a 214, the whole nine yards. So we do all that. Everything on the state level. We do it all. We're one-stop shop.
So if you have any questions, feel free to call or to stop in to the Veterans Services offices. One individual who will receive some special honors this year will be Ralph Mariotti, the Veteran of the Year.
Ralph.
He'll have a prominent position in the parade on Monday morning.
Oh, yeah, he's our parade marshal. We've been trying to get him to do the practicing wave Think I'm not. So, you know, what is that?
Elmo? You gotta watch how the Queen Elizabeth does it. Yeah. All you move is kind of your hand.
We don't want any of them to hurt themselves in the past. So,
well, we salute Ralph, Veteran of the Year. When you look back at the list of past Veterans of the Year, it's a pretty overwhelming list of people.
That's another thing that stands Butler County out from the rest, because no other county truly has a Veteran of the Year program. A couple of them tried to emulate what we do here in Butler, especially like this Memorial Day program, the Sunday evening program. No other county does this program, the Sunday evening program. And again, it's one of those things that we were talking off air, those guys that molded me and twisted me and shaped me into whatever, never to forget, these are past veterans, whether they died on battle or whether they passed away of natural causes, they're still a veteran. So that's what we do. And then nobody's even come close to what we do here at Butler.
Mm. Yeah. You mentioned General John Logan, Major General, I guess, John Logan, who was the individual who officially declared that Decoration Day should be observed on May 30th.
Right.
This was after the Civil War, and they called it Decoration Day because people decorated the graves.
Right. Daughters of the Revolutionary War soldiers, they would go out in springtime and gather up the most beautiful flowers, and they would decorate the graves with them. And that's why they always went up to the cemetery after the parade, capture what Memorial Day was all about. And they would lay wreaths up at the part of the program. They would lay a wreath up there to emulate the pulling of the choicest flowers.
I had a great aunt who always referred to it as Decoration Day.
Yeah.
My late Aunt Mary has been dead for many, many, many years now. It was a great aunt, not an aunt, so it's another generation back.
Right.
But, because family picnics took place in that weekend, right. And she never called it Memorial Day. It was always Decoration Day.
Oh, yeah.
Decoration Day.
I could just imagine what the thought process was with some of the people that always known it as Decoration Day, and then here the government comes along and is going to change it to Memorial Day. I always wondered how those people felt about it.
Well, a lot of people don't realize Memorial Day is actually a more accurate name, because on Memorial Day we're honoring veterans who gave their lives.
Correct.
Who died in service. It's okay to, salute a veteran on Memorial Day, but Veterans Day, which is in November, is the day that we really honor all veterans.
Right.
Memorial Day is for those who died in service to the country.
Correct. And, one of the things I got to say about the younger generation is they're really starting to understand Memorial Day, our veterans. And one of the things they always say, John, remind people, don't say happy Memorial Day. There's nothing happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
For the listeners out there, hey, think about, Memorial Day, trying to think of a nice phrase to say, have a good Memorial Day without being the oxymoron that, hey,
yeah,
this is, we're honoring our dead people on the battlefield who spilled their blood for our freedoms.
It's a good point. Think of Arlington Cemetery, if you've ever been there, or the movie Saving Private Ryan,
right,
which the beginning of the movie and the end of the movie, both at the cemetery above Omaha Beach, where,
right,
there's just thousands and thousands of graves. That's what we think about on Memorial Day. That's what we should think about on Memorial Day.
Right.
Hey, it's okay to have a picnic and have fun, but
yep,
take a little time anyway, a couple of minutes if nothing else, and remember those who gave their lives.
Right.
As I always think about when we talk about Memorial Day, because several of those guys you mentioned used to be in here to talk with us.
Oh, yeah.
Norm Redigan. Leonard Beck and Ted Sankey and some of those guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Ted Sankey. He used to always come into the office and says, I'm a veteran of five wars. And I'd start out, Revolutionary, Spanish, American.
Hey, but seriously, yeah. Ted Sankey served in the Second World War,
Korean,
and Vietnam.
Right, yeah.
There are not too many people
who
served in all three of those conflicts.
No, not especially in Butler.
Yeah.
So, but Ted, and I, we used to take road trips to Washington, D.C. and all that. So Ted, you know, T.R., he was a great man and funny man. And I miss them all. They joke and laugh. And then I sit there and I go, wait a minute. I'm 52, so 20-some years ago or whatever, these guys were 52. When I first come on board, they were, you know, in their 50s, and now they're gone, you know. So it was just a great pleasure to know them, to learn the history from them and mm-hmm. not from a book, you know, as far as that goes. And then when we were talking about the list of names, I remember when I started, we had World War I veterans when I started.
Who were still alive?
On this list.
Who had died.
Yeah, right. Who passed away. Correct. And it's now, you know, there's nothing. So, but.
And you said you had one of the fellows you knew from the Persian Gulf conflict who's died during the past year.
I'm sure he passed away in September. His name is James Noblet. Yeah, he and his wife both were in my same unit. And Pam, if you're listening, my condolences. But I was Pam's trainer because she wouldn't let Jamie.
No, was this?
Desert Storm.
Were you in Kuwait or Iraq? Or
Kuwait.
Kuwait?
Yeah, we first Desert Storm, or Gulf War, however they want to say it. There's only one Persian Gulf as far as, you know, I'm concerned. But that's how they differentiate the difference. But Pam and Jamie were in the same unit. We were in the same unit together, and Jamie was a good guy. He just I don't know. I just seen it today, and I probably seen it in September when he did pass away, and it just didn't hit me. But Jamie and I were buddies. He was a good guy.
Could you ever imagine when you were in Kuwait way back then, John Sarpian, that we would still be involved in the Middle East? We would still have troops in the Middle East?
No, I remember when I come home and I said, you know, with the politics at that time and whatnot, I said, if we don't do something, we're going to be back there in 5 years.
And we were.
And there we are, you know. And my younger brother, who's home now, he's there as a civilian. But he was also there as a military guy. He retired. And it's like he didn't make it to Desert Storm. He was stationed in Germany at the time. And I said, don't worry. You're going to make it there because the politics that are in play is only going to dictate that we're going to be back.
You know. Well, Memorial Day, a time to have fun. But a time to remember, and it's right. A somber holiday as well, as we remember those men and women who died in service to our country. And the parade, most people are off on Monday, so if you have a chance, either go to the program in your community. Some communities now have it on Sunday, too.
Right.
Or come downtown for the parade.
But the big thing to remember is it's changing its
right.
direction.
It's going the other direction now.
Line up is on the other end. Don't come up to the courthouse and try to line up. You're not going to get in.
John Cyprian, the Director of Veterans Services. John, good to see you. Thanks for stopping in today.
Dave, thanks for another year. Thanks for having me.
Sure. More to come on It's Your Turn. We'll take a break. We're going to be talking about the good old days of the 1960s. Coming up here on It's Your Turn on WISR in just a couple of minutes. Stick around. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Howie Pentney with Pentney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pentney at Pentney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Osterling's Lawn and Garden should be your first stop this month for any gardening needs. They've got vegetable seeds, herbplants, and plenty of red, white, and gold planting potatoes. If you're looking for some fresh fruit plant options, come see their selection of blueberries, raspberries, and grapes. And remember, this month only, they've got a 50% off sale on Dorvet fly masks and ManaPro fly wipes that'll help keep those pesky flies away. Remember, you can find just about everything you need at Osterling's Lawn and Garden Center in Butler, corner of East Jefferson and Monroe Streets, Osterlinks.
Michael's Restaurant is now open for breakfast at 7 a.m. Join us for breakfast any day of the week, including after church on Sundays. Have you made plans for dinner yet? Bring the family for a great home-cooked meal. Michael's Restaurant also offers great Sunday dinner specials, stuffed chicken breasts, stuffed pork chops, lasagna, and more.
Welcome back, good friends. Hey, look who's here in the studio. It's Mr. 60s himself in person.
Wish we had a camera.
Ron Marowitz is here, known as Mr. 60s, and he's here because he's doing a program. It's this weekend, right?
Yeah. This Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's an oldies dance show, but I understand it's a request.
Yeah, we decided we would do things just a little different. Than most dances where the DJ just plays music and some people love it, some people don't. All the songs, for the most part, are going to be by request. We're going to have little request slips with my picture on it. And people will be able to put down a request, and we're just asking for one request per slip so it doesn't become like an encyclopedia. And we'll do that all night long. I got tons and tons of slips, and we'll play the music you want to dance to.
All right. Has a good beat. don't like the words, but you can dance to it. Remember that from Bandstand?
Break the record.
Yeah. So where does this all take place, by the way?
This is going to be at the Tanglewood Entertainment Center. Right here off of Hanson.
And you could make an evening of it, really.
Oh, yeah.
Dinner
and
everything, right?
Where the doors open at 6. We have a buffet dinner by the incredible Chef George at 7. And the dancing starts at 8 o'clock. And we'll probably go till about 10, 10:30.
Oh, I was thinking 4 o'clock in the morning, maybe.
Oh, yeah, in my younger day.
That's good fun. And especially music of the 60s, or could it
be? Well, we're going to do 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Okay.
Believe it or not, the last time I did an event there, we had a lot of people wanting disco. So we played some 70s stuff and just had a great time.
Disco.
There's a dance group that meets, I don't know whether it's once a month or every 2 weeks or whatever, at the Tanglewood. And they do all sorts of, they do ballroom dancing, they do disco dancing, and they're absolutely fantastic. And they always come to the DJ events so that they can dance and show off, which is fantastic because they're really good dancers.
So the 60s dances would be, well, the twist obviously would first on the list, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, we run the gamut, you know, everything from
that.
The twist and the Hully Gully and you
Hully
name
Gully,
it.
Yeah, I remember that one. The mashed potato.
The mashed potatoes, we do the stroll.
Oh, the stroll, yeah.
I mean, just if you want, whatever you want to dance to, I got it.
Mm-hmm. What about the Freddy? Do you ever get any requests for the Freddy?
Yeah, when I do shows where I perform. Yeah, Freddy and the Dreamers.
Yeah.
People
Freddy and the Dreamers. You just look like somebody trying to do jumping jacks with toes stuck in an electric socket.
Yeah, that was always one of my favorite. That's actually, I use that line in my act, if you will, when because I used to see Freddy and the Dreamers on the Ed Sullivan Show, and
this was a real group, folks. We're not making this up.
Freddy and the Dreamers, and. I made the comment that, Jesus, if a guy that looks like Freddie Garrity can do it, there's room enough for me in anybody the music can. Business.
He, I think he just passed away not too
yeah,
long
a couple
ago.
Of years ago.
Yeah, fairly recently.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the obituary, and at first I didn't realize who it was because I didn't know what his last name was.
A lot of people didn't know his last name was Garrity.
Yeah. We're talking about Mr. 60's Rock and Roll All Request Oldies Dance Show. This Saturday. Are there still tickets?
There's still tickets available. They're $20 a ticket.
Does that include your dinner buffet?
That includes dinner, and we have a 50-50 drawing. We're going to have giveaways, not only giveaways from the Tanglewood, but we're going to have some Mr. 60's giveaways. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Fortunately, I've developed a lot of fans here in the Butler area that every time they see me, they have to have a new Mr. 60's bracelet. So I always have to have a box full of those.
You think this music will ever die out and go away?
No, no. I hope not. I hope not. I don't think it will. The main thing, I can't think of one song that's out today that brings back memories. Well, that would bring back memories, you know, 20 years from now. Mm-hmm. But you talk about doo-wop and the rock scene of the 60s, which I grew up in. You can always, that when you play a song, there's always a memory that comes back, good or bad. But at this stage of the game, they're all good.
And that's happened before. I mean, we have a... Actually, it's been around for quite a few years now, the Golden Tornado Big Band. It's a group of Butler High students under Jeff Croner, and they play big band music. And I've heard them. I've talked to Jeff about it, and he said these young people have embraced that music. It's a new discovery for them. And, you know, that goes back to mostly the 40s.
Oh, exactly.
A little bit of the 30s, a little bit of the 40s. And they recognize that it was really good music, and they love it. We got the 50s and the 60s. I don't know. It could be a generational thing, but I can't imagine 50 years from now people talking about some of the music of today.
I agree.
In the way that they still talk about either big band music or doo-wop music or anything. I just can't see it.
Most importantly are the lyrics. On this gig that we did, the people sitting in the front row, this was up in Concordia, and they knew all the words to all the songs, and we dug back to, you know, 50s and 60s, even a little 70s, and we had a lady sitting in the front row. She knew every word to every song.
Mm.
I don't think that could happen with the music of today, only because you don't understand the lyrics.
Yeah.
That is just so important.
Of course, there were some songs of back in the 60s where the lyrics were a little bit hard to understand.
Well, this is true. I could think of a couple.
Even if you could understand the words, you could understand what they meant. You
yeah,
know?
Very true. Yeah, we talk about Louie Louie.
That could be one. Or even Neil Diamond had a song. I can't remember what the lyric is. Nobody spoke, not even the chair. What's that song? I said, what?
What?
Not even what the chair? Really? Yeah. What, were you just trying to... Just trying to get something that rhymed or what?
My favorite are the lyrics that people get wrong.
There are books about that.
Yeah, Creedence Clearwater Revival, for example. Nobody understands that the lyric is not, there's a bathroom on the right.
Yeah. It's not bathroom.
And, you know, the Rolling Stones.
It's Bad Moon, by the way, in case you were wondering.
And how about the Rolling Stones? I'll never be your pizza person.
I've not heard that one before.
Yeah, Beast of Burden is.
Okay. Well, I have seen, a book of, I don't remember the title of it, but a book of misheard lyrics.
Yeah.
People would swear they knew what it was, but that really wasn't it, you know.
But this should be a fun Saturday night, especially it's a holiday weekend. Some people have made plans. Some people have not. This is just kind of a laid-back evening. You're going to hear the music that you love. You're going to eat some good food, because if anybody out there has ever been to the Tanglewood and eaten one of Chef George's dinners, they know what I'm talking about.
And you can think back to the old days of the, you know, the high school dance, or what they used to call record hops.
Yes, and sock hops.
That was a little bit before my time, but I know the term, sock hop.
You know, a lot of people until recently, because I talk about it, don't know why they called them sock hops. So let's tell them why they call them sock hops. The gym floors in the high schools were always nice and shiny for the you know, the basketball games.
Mm-hmm.
And the school didn't want them to scuff the floor. So they called them sock hops. You were supposed to take off your shoes and dance in your stocking feet. And hence they called them sock hops.
Hmm.
And that's the history, and that's about all I know.
Well, the gym was usually the place where they had, I don't know, did they even have high school dances anymore? I don't know.
I don't think so. Why? I don't know. It was always a great place to hear your local band. I remember as a teenager with my rock and roll group, I remember playing high school dances. And, your goal was to play some good dance music and blow the other acts off the stage.
I can remember junior high dances. They were hilarious because the girls all lined up on one side of the gym and the boys all lined up on the other side.
Yeah,
and
that's the truth.
You talk to each other and tried to screw up the courage to walk across the dance floor and ask a girl to dance. Oh, and they had ladies' choice. Usually at the end of the evening, you know, they would give the girls a chance to
to go out there
ask
and
a guy to dance. You know?
The funny thing is I learned a long time ago from a very dear friend of mine who I still stay in touch with. We probably have known each other for almost 50 years, and I'm giving away my age. And Tony used to say, when you go to a high school dance, just ask the prettiest girl across the way to dance. He says, I know you're afraid of rejection. Every guy is afraid of rejection. But nobody will ask the prettiest girl in the room to dance because they think she'll say no. So
go for it. Huh?
Go for it. You might just find that she welcomes the opportunity just to get on the dance floor.
Well, that's an interesting theory. A little too late for us to try it out, though.
I'm full of them.
Hey, the Mr. 60s Rock and Roll All Request Oldies Dance Show, starting with a dinner buffet. What time do you say that gets underway?
The buffet starts at 7. And we'll crank it up about 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And it's a request, so.
Yeah, an all-request show. Of course, there's going to be those lulls where nobody has a request slip. But I got to tell you, the Tanglewood, they're pretty good. We've done this before, but we've never made it an all-request.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it really in response to some comments that were asked of people. You know, we think Mr. 60s does a great job, but, you know, we'd like to hear some of the music we want to hear.
That's right.
So we said, let's make it an all request, and we'll take it from there.
I want to hear Johnny Angel by Shelley Fabre.
Yeah.
And I want to hear it right now.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah.
Tickets are still available for this event. It's at the Tanglewood just off Hanson Avenue, and it is this Saturday night.
This Saturday night. Yes, it is.
Ron, good to see you, my friend.
Hey, good to be here.
Thanks for stopping by.
Good to be here. Thanks.
More to come on It's Your Turn. We're going to be talking with, by telephone, he's not here in Butler, Daniel Robinson, who is a screenwriter for ABC's hit television series, How to Get Away with Murder. And that'll be coming up on the It's Your Turn program here this Thursday in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today is Schnoor's Greenhouse, family-owned and operated since 1889. That's right, 1889, celebrating 130 years in business. They're located off Herman Road. Look for Schnorr Road near the RC Men's Club. Extremely friendly service and a very, very knowledgeable staff, too. I know I've asked for help out there, and they've been able to help me out straight away. They specialize in annuals, in beautiful hanging baskets, and they've got tons of those, and vegetable plants. And this is the weekend when a lot of folks put out their vegetable plants, Memorial Day weekend. Great selection from which to choose. Just about any flower or plant that you can imagine, they've got it at Schnorr's Greenhouse. Gift cards as well. They're Butler's longtime trusted greenhouse. Hours, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, 8 to 5. Sunday, 11 to 5. Schnorr's Greenhouse. Celebrating 130 years in business. They're Butler's longtime trusted greenhouse. Since 1889, it's been the place to grow.
$3. Not too much $3 can buy these days. Not even a gallon of gas. Fortunately, with the Butler Transit Authority, $3 provides you with all-day transportation with over 250 local Butler bus stops. Butler Transit can get you to all the major Butler shopping destinations, medical facilities, downtown, and much more. Visit our downtown bus terminal on West Newcastle Street or on the web at butlertransit.com.
In 2019, Tri-Rivers celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
I'm Dr. Scott Rainey, an orthopedic back and neck surgeon at Tri-Rivers. Whether I'm in the office treating patients for conditions such as cervical or lumbar stenosis, or in the operating room performing innovative procedures like disc replacements, I'm proud to care for patients in the Butler community. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Coming up on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, I'm Dave Malarkey. We'll be chatting with Daniel Robinson via the telephone. He's the author of a novel entitled The First They Ignore You. Daniel Robinson, nice to make your acquaintance.
Nice to be here. I love being in Pennsylvania. You know, that's where the show I work on takes place.
That's right. Daniel Robinson is a screenwriter for ABC's hit television series, How to Get Away with Murder. You've also worked on many other TV shows, though, have you not?
Correct, but this is the only show I've worked on as a writer. The other shows I was an assistant on.
Well, tell us a little bit about your novel, First They Ignore You. I know that your central character is Russell Horvath. Who's he, Daniel?
Russell's kind of like my id, my insecurities, and my anxiety unleashed. You know, it's a similar thing I learned from working on the show, in that we take real stories, real people's stories, specifically around the criminal justice system, whether they're people accused of a crime or incarcerated or lawyers or judges or witnesses, and then we try to take those truthful elements about them that maybe are a little bit unique, and we take a lot of creative license and we fictionalize them and we tell a compelling story based on that. And I took the same approach with this novel, which is that, you know, it took me 10 years to establish my career in Hollywood. I was every kind of assistant under the sun, a director's assistant, a writer's assistant, a producer's assistant, an agent's assistant, a manager's assistant. And I got a lot of kale salads for lunch, answered a lot of phone calls, set a lot of meetings before I was able to establish my career. And so there's a lot of anxiety that goes along with that, a lot of uncertainty. You have to find ways to be persistent. And so this character, Russell, is kind of like all those insecurities and anxieties, plus all the stuff that I had to deal with in my personal life, unleashed in a very real Los Angeles, but taking creative license and putting him in a fictional setting. And then I needed a way to really codify all of that anxiety and insecurity. And so he also has a binge eating disorder that he's been hiding from everybody in his life. And unfortunately, eating disorders are very prevalent in our society today, in our culture, in America. And if you put them on the larger subheading of addiction, there's almost no one whose life hasn't been touched by them in one way or another, if not directly with someone fairly close to you who's battled with those issues. And so I thought it was definitely a worthy cause to tackle, and it just seemed like the right fit for telling this particular story. And so when we meet him, he's kind of about to hit rock bottom with his disorder, and he's sneaking off at night to have these, you know, 5,000, 10,000 calorie meals that he doesn't want anybody to know about.
I was intrigued when I got the review copy of your book, because on the cover is a picture of an opened box of a dozen donuts. They look very tasty, and I thought, what the heck does that have to do with this book? Now we know, huh? It's a binge eating disorder. An addiction, actually, right?
Absolutely. You know, I'm definitely not a clinical psychologist. I talked to several mental health professionals in consultation with making this book, and I read a lot about it as much as I could to make it as an accurate representation in a fictional setting. But I do take some creative license, and, you know, I personalize it within my own story. But it's a disorder, binge eating disorder. It typically comes on with people in their once they leave high school or in their early 20s, mid-20s. It affects, I think, around 2% of the country might have a binge eating disorder. And what you'll see is that it's really a secretive thing. It's a shameful thing, right? And when we're talking about feelings of shame, we're talking about a feeling that someone is unworthy of love or unworthy of acceptance. And it's different than guilt. Like, I feel guilty if I broke a dish. I'm sorry I broke that dish. But shame is like, I'm just an irredeemable, unlovable, unworthy human being. So it's a much deeper, darker emotion. And they might seem, you know, like they can go out to dinner with their friends and family, have a normal meal. But then when nobody else is around, that's when the binge usually occurs. That's why, you know, the opening of the book takes place with him going on a binge. It's probably about 2 or 3 in the morning, I think. And he snuck off, told his girlfriend he's taking a power walk, but really he's going to get, you know, as many donuts and french fries as he can and eat as big of a meal as he can, because that's the only way he can feel in control at this point of his life.
Thus the cover of your book. So in some cases, at least, perhaps many, people with an overeating disorder are battling personal demons. That's the way of confronting personal demons, Daniel?
Yeah, it's certainly not always the case, but more often than not, when we're talking about addiction and those internalized feelings of shame, we're talking about people who are battling with personal demons, whether that happened, you know, earlier on in life or more recently, whether they brought it on themselves, if they had traumatic childhood experiences. It can range the gamut. And again, that's something that working on the show really informed for me, because when you start to really study our criminal justice system in America, you come to the conclusion fairly quickly, at least I did, that there's very few people who are just born bad, right? The idea of, like, the evil person or the sociopath. Nobody as a baby is like, I really want to grow up to be a criminal. I think that'd be great. Most people who end up being labeled as criminal in our society experience trauma early on in life. They didn't grow up in a secure environment. They were neglected. They were abused. They were around addiction. They were in a community that was lower socioeconomically, and so they didn't have a lot of opportunity to feel like they could move out of that, or they had behavior modeled to them from other people in their family who had been labeled as criminals from their society. And we start to tend to act out the labels that society puts on us. So I feel like something I felt in working on the show was this idea of empathy and sympathy for people who might come across as the villains in our society. And then I needed to personalize it in a way for myself. And it's really an internal battle that I've dealt with for a number of years in having an over-anxious perspective and being somebody with anxiety. You know, we're often chastising ourselves too much. We're criminalizing ourselves. And so I wanted to make a character that really embodied that. And that's where Russell comes in. If he's somebody who, you know, is so hard on himself and thinks he's so irredeemable that he can't hear anything positive from anybody else, and he only hears the negative, and if it's not there, he's going to manufacture it. And that's why it leads to a lot of comedy, because he's making all these catastrophes when there don't really need to be any.
One final question. We hear an awful lot these days. We see it in magazines, newspaper articles about women and their concerns about body image. You look at this from a man's perspective in your novel, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm a man, and I felt like this was the most authentic way for me to tell that story. And I know that I have wrestled with body image issues. You know, I was a very overweight kid. I had really low self-esteem. Took me a long time to get over that and to build myself up internally and externally into somebody who I could really love and respect. And I feel like there's kind of a shortage of that dialogue in our culture of male sensitivity or just honest emotional discourse. Man to man, we have this idea of, like, this rugged, tough sort of steel exterior. That's the only way to be a man. Everything bounces off of you, and nothing gets to you, and you're the rock in the storm. And to me, I guess the only way I found my personal strength is through that vulnerability and that openness. And as a writer, you kind of have to go there, because if you're not writing authentically, people aren't going to be interested. So I had to find strength in my own vulnerabilities. And dealing with this character and writing about body image issues from a male perspective was important to me, because I think there are a lot of guys out there who suffer from low self-esteem or body image issues as a result of how they look or how they think they look. And so I wanted to write a story to have that conversation.
The title of the novel is First They Ignore You. The author is Daniel Robinson, who is a screenwriter for the ABC hit television series How to Get Away with Murder. And he's been our guest for the last few minutes here on It's Your Turn. Nice to talk with you, Daniel Robinson. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. And if people want to check out some more content from the book, we have on Instagram, they can follow us at First They Ignore You. We have some great content there as well. And you can get the book on Amazon.
Terrific. Nice to talk with you.
Thank you.
Here we have Pirate Baseball coming up very shortly. We'll be joining our Pirate broadcast momentarily. One of our sponsors on the It's Your Turn program today is Gone Postal Butler. Boy, this is such a convenient service and such a convenient place. They package your items for shipping, so you don't have to worry about hunting around for the right size box or the bubble wrap or any of that stuff. Just take your items to Gone Postal Butler, and they'll pack them up for you and ship them out. Either U.S. Postal Service or UPS or FedEx, that's your choice. Gone Postal Butler, they're located in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, which is right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants on Newcastle Road. They're open Monday through Friday. By the way, they have other services too, copying, scanning, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox there. They even have an official notary. Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center.
Well, Mr. 60's here. I gotta tell you about a fantastic event happening at the Tanglewood Entertainment Center Saturday, May 25th. It's the Mr. 60's Rock and Roll Oldies All Request Dance Party. Let me take you back in time to those sock hops in the gym. I'm going to be playing your favorite songs from the 50s, 60s, and 70s by request. All you have to do is dance the night away. Dust off your poodle skirts and leather jackets and join me and Chef George on Saturday, May 25th for an evening of fun and great food. Doors open at 6 p.m., buffet dinner at 7, and dancing starts at 8 o'clock. As always, BYOB will have a 50-50 drawing and giveaways. Tickets are only $20 each. Be there or be square, as they used to say. That's Saturday, May 25th at the Tanglewood Entertainment Center. For tickets and more info, call 724-287-0021.
Hi, my name's Joe, and I work at Compassionate Certification Centers, and I believe in CCC and medical marijuana because we are changing patients' lives in a positive way each and every day. Compassionate Certification Centers is a physician-owned clinic that helps certify patients in PA for their medical marijuana license. Please contact Compassionate Certification Centers at 888-316-9085 or register online at cccregister.com.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
We now join Pittsburgh Pirate Baseball. In the bottom of the third inning, the Pirates are up 4-0.